But the reading today is taken from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Hope that's okay with you, Ruth. And it is the correct reading. You may think, as I thought when I was reading the passage yesterday, oh, is this really the reading for today? But it is, and I think all will become clear in a few minutes. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. May God bless the reading of his word to us today.
It's great this morning to be able to welcome Ruth Walker to come and speak with us. To speak to us, to share God's word with us. A couple of things to know: she is in the speaking team at Newton Mearns Baptist Church, one of our sister churches in our union. She's also involved in the development of young leaders through primarily the Evangelical Alliance. That's a ministry that's been a huge blessing to us over the last few years, particularly as some of our young adults have gone there and have benefited from different courses that have been run. Most relevant to this morning, Ruth has also been involved in the production of a resource called Transforming Work, which is a resource that's come out from the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. And it's really about how Christians can be engaged, can think through their workplaces, their education places, in terms of how they can be used as a ministry for God and how we can take God into those situation. So that's what we're going to be hearing about this morning, and it's great to have you here with us. And let's just pray for Ruth as she shares God's word with us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's so powerful, Lord. Thank you that it can change lives, and we just invite you to speak to us in this time. Lord, would you bless us? Would you inspire us? Would you put your finger on parts of our lives that need to be spoken into, Lord? And would you be the glorified in this moment? For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, well, what a delight it is to be here today and to see so many familiar faces. So that is just great to be here with you. I bring to you the greetings of Newton Mearns Baptist Church. I know many of you know it. Some of you have even worshipped there. So a delight to be able to bring our greetings also. You might find it helpful to have the scripture open today, because what we wanted to do is look at how to be authentic followers of Jesus. And I was reminded when I came that not everybody works. And what I hope, if you're not somebody who works, that there are things that you'll hear that will impact your own life. But not just that you will see that they're part of what God calls you to, is to support people who are in ministry in their workplace. But before I go there, let me start with a story about Andy, who is a fishmonger. Andy has recently retired, and Andy has been a Christian for many, many years. He has been a churchgoer, and he has started to go to a Christianity Explored course. And Andy is so excited. You see, he said, "I've been living as if all that is important as a Christian is that I go to heaven when I die. But I realize that now that being a Christian is about following Jesus every day, and that impacts absolutely everything that I do, wherever I am." Andy has discovered that being a Christian changes his whole life. It changes everything he does. And the Apostle Paul wrote about that. And he says this: "So here's what I want you to do." This is the Message translation. "God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him." An amazing thing, isn't it? God calls us to live 100% every aspect of our life for him. Do you know, every week we have 110 hours, roughly, to live the difference that Jesus makes. So there's some maths involved, which means I'm always a bit nervous, because maths, if you know me, is not my strong point. But there are 168 hours a week. A friend of mine said, "I know there's 168 hours because I used to be a junior doctor, so I could count every one of them." But you sleep for 48, say, roughly. That leaves 120 hours left a week. And let's imagine you're reasonably involved in your church here. So that'll probably take, let's say, 10 hours. So that leaves you with 110 hours to share the love of Jesus with others wherever you are, at work, at university, at college, at home, where you volunteer, wherever. So that's really the premise that I want to start on, that there is so much of life to be lived and shared with others so that they experience who Jesus is in the way that we do that. So I want us just now to turn to the passage that they were reading in Luke chapter 2. You know, I find that the Bible is full of stories about work and full of wisdom and insight that can be applied to our everyday life. And the passage today that you read, which was just great, is that this is a story about unimportant, ordinary workers. Do you know, I remember a situation at work like it was yesterday. It was a black day. A colleague who didn't like me had, he was on my case. And he was absolutely on my case. And I kept thinking, you know, I shouldn't feel this. I'm a grown up. And I've got quite a big team, and I've got quite a big budget, and I'm quite responsible, and I'm quite competent, but I feel useless, and I felt absolutely hopeless. I don't know if some of you have experienced that kind of situation at work, where you feel really foolish. And I remember the phone ringing, and it was a colleague calling. We were working on a completely different project, and he was on to ask me a question about it. And then he paused, and he said, "I sense something is wrong. Let me pray for you." And you know, that day, it felt like an angel bringing hope to me that day. The presence of God entered my office. I don't know if you've experienced the presence of God like that in your office. Now, shepherds in Jesus' day were viewed as being the bottom rung of society. The kind of tradesmen, you know, who come into your house and you think, well, I'll not be going out, I'll be staying in. And here they are in their workplace. They're on the night shift. And what happens? Do you see what happens? In verse 6, this is what happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they are given the greatest message of hope in their workplace. The glory of the Lord turning up in their workplace. Well, I wonder if that's happened to you. Maybe it's a story like mine with somebody calling in or somebody speaking to you. But I asked someone a question. I was asking a number of people this question, where have you seen a hope at work? And this doctor told me this day, a story that happened to him one day. And he's in his clinic, and a youngish woman comes in, and he's been working with her for a very long time to try and deal with some unresolvable pain. And this day she says to him, Doctor, are you a Christian? And he goes, yeah, I am. And he says, so this morning I was reading from the Bible about blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus said to stop Jesus, and he said, and Jesus said to him, so what do you want? And he said, I want to be healed. And so, doctor, she says, I want to be healed. Will you pray for me? Well, I don't know if that happens for you in your workplace. And he told me that this is what he thought. He thought, oh, I'm a scientist. And then he said, but you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in the power of prayer. And she's asked, and I'm allowed to do this. And so we asked the other people in the room, the other professionals, are you okay with this? Please leave if you're not. And I understand they were keen to stay and see what happened. And he prayed for this young woman. And he prayed for her to be blessed. He prayed that she would know Jesus. He prayed that she would be healed. And he prayed that the other people in the room would be blessed also. And this is what he said. The palpable presence of the Lord entered my consulting room. The palpable presence of the Lord entered his consulting room. Well, he said, I'm going to ask afterwards how she was. And he said, we'll be checking this up. And apparently the next week when she came back, he said, so how are you? And she said, well, I think I'm a bit better. And the mother who'd come to all the appointments with this young woman said, doctor, you need to know that since we were here, I have had 7 full nights of sleep. That's the first that I've had since she was born. An amazing miracle. Hope bursting in at work. I wonder if that's happened to you, hope bursting in at work. You know, for the last 10 years, I've had the privilege of being working as part of a team, as you mentioned, with the London Institute, and we've been developing this Transforming Work program where Christians explore together what it is like to be a Christian at work. And as we meet together, we reflect and we look at the Bible and how it speaks into our work. And we've really kind of been thinking about what does that mean. And one of the most exciting things I think I have discovered is this verse. The Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. My brother always says, we always have this argument about work and the value of work. And he says, I said, you know, work happened before the fall. And he said, no, I think you're wrong. My brother's always right. So this time I was right. And I said, no, definitely. It happens before the fall. You see, work is made to be part of God's design. And so when it's hard, that's because there's been the fall. We were told that it would be hard after the fall. But work is part of God's design. It's who we are. We are designed to work. And it should be a place where it helps us flourish. And we've discovered in Transforming Work that God is interested in every detail of our work. It's not just about evangelism, and it's not just about good behavior, but it's also God has entrusted us with his creation to do well with it. God tasks us as workers to take care of his world. And one of the ways we do that in the 21st century is through our everyday work, through a job well done, a team member cared for, a target met, a patient healed, an essay submitted, courage shown in a difficult negotiation. You see, every day we get to be, if you like, a model of Christ. As workers, as students, every day others get the opportunity to encounter something of the living God in you. My passionate conviction is that God calls each of us to live our lives for him wherever we are, wholeheartedly, in our work, in our everyday work. But let's return to the passage. Let's look at this next verse, verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. The hope of the world in a very ordinary place, in a manger. It couldn't be more ordinary at the time. I wonder if you have eyes to see what God is doing in ordinary places. Let me tell you about Michelle. Michelle loves makeup blogs. I don't know if many of you here are into makeup blogs. I've just discovered them. And on one of these makeup blogs she's watching, she hears about an alpha course. And she wonders what an alpha course is about. And Michelle's been in a terrible situation. Unexpected, came to Glasgow and to be with her boyfriend, and he walks out on her. And she is wretched. And as she watches this, she thinks, what is alpha? I know some of you are doing alpha here. That's about to start here. So she dismisses it, and she gets the wrong bus home. And it seems to be that on the bus that day, that it just passes every alpha course sign in Glasgow. And she thinks, I really wonder what an alpha course is. So the only person she knows is who goes to church is her boss, Karen. So she says, she goes in and she asks her boss, Karen, have you heard about Alpha? Now, what you need to know is that Karen has been praying for Michelle for a very long time. And Karen is involved in the Alpha course at Newton Mearns Baptist Church. And she says, well, yeah, I have heard about an Alpha course. And she invites Michelle along. Michelle meets Jesus because she watched a makeup blog. Michelle meets Jesus. And Michelle's boss, Karen, is encouraged because her faithful, everyday, ordinary witness and her faithful prayer has brought radical change to this young woman. Michelle has joined my chick Bible study group. That's another story if you're interested in. And every day she comes with a new story about what God is doing in her life. It's been the most exciting journey for us. And we are encouraged as a group who pray for her. And if you say, well, I'm not working, you certainly can be praying for people who are working. And we're praying for Karen. Let me tell you about another ordinary place where God showed up. Nick is a woodwork teacher in a local school, and he's prayerful about every opportunity, and he's helping the class make Christmas ornaments. And one of the things they do is sort of laser down to do their laser technique, so he gets them to laser onto these little wooden Christmas ornaments. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. A little touch of the gospel. And next year in the woodwork class, when they're making ornaments again, the kids say, sir, could we get another of these really good sayings and laser it onto our Christmas decorations? Ordinary places where God is at work. At the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, we've been able to develop six different M's, we call them, of things that you can do to live the difference that Jesus makes, just ordinary things. How is your character? How do you live before people? Look at that. We look at how do you actually do really good work? How do you show grace and love? That's one of the ways that we share the gospel with people, showing grace and love to people. Or how do you mold the culture? How do you make a difference to the kind of culture that's there? How's the way that you can stand out and be different or shape things that happen? A young doctor told me, we're so busy, we don't have any time to speak about things outside work. We don't have time to stop. He said, but I always make a point of asking people how their weekend was, because that way, at least I'm bringing a touch of something else and beginning to change the culture. Each of us can mold the culture in different ways. Or we can speak up about truth and justice, make a difference where we are, where we see something that's not right, speak out about it. And of course, we can speak about Jesus. The Apostle Paul put it like this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's the most significant thing we can do is how we live the difference. You know, as Christians, part of our role is to encourage other Christians by our words and actions. It struck me that that is what the heavenly host was doing, wasn't it? Why do you think it wasn't enough for one angel to turn up? It's because you need people around you and encouraging them. And so there's a whole host of angels turning up, and they are bringing huge encouragement to the shepherds and even to the angel who brought that message. We need other people to encourage us. Are you sharing stories about that? Yesterday, see, John's up the back. John Gibson and I were with a group of people who were telling us stories about their work. It's so encouraging, and we were able to encourage others. Let me tell you a couple of them. There's one day that we're sitting round a table talking about work, and there's a teacher saying, I don't believe that I'm of any value in my workplace. I just wonder if I'm making a difference. And the sports coach who's sitting at the other end said, I was trained with Christians in sport, and they said, play to the audience of one to the Lord Jesus. And I've taken that into my workplace. Whenever I'm at work, I know that it is Jesus Christ that I'm serving primarily. And his story was as if he'd handed a light bulb to the teacher at this site. And her life has been changed because he was willing to encourage by sharing stories. Please share your stories of where you've seen God at work. Let me tell you another story. Let me tell you about David. And David's a psychologist. And he says he's in work, and his receptionist is fierce. In fact, he thinks of her as a Rottweiler because she's so unpleasant. And the atmosphere is terrible. It's really awful. And so he's been praying about it. And one day he turns up at her desk and he goes, and she goes, what is it? And he gulps and he says, would you like a cup of coffee? You see, he treats her like a human and not like a dog. And what do you think she says? She says, yes, please. She responds like a human. And you know, the atmosphere in that office changed from that moment, an ordinary thing. When we heard that story from David, we felt encouraged that ordinary things, simple things, we often want great big things to happen at work, don't we? But often they are just simple. So what do the shepherds do? Let's go back to the passage. What do? They go and see that what they've seen, is it true? And they go and they check out, is it true what the angels have said? And they find out that it is. And what do? They spread the word concerning them, concerning what the angels had told them, what they've been told about the child. I wonder about you. Do you think that you can't do it? Of course you can. If shepherds, ordinary shepherds, are able to share the news about Jesus, so can you. You can speak about what God has done for you in your workplace, at university, wherever you are, at school. You know, we're told this, isn't it? Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that's within us. And we can do it courageously, gently, respectfully. Often we think it's going to be one of these really difficult things, but it's the gentlest of things that we can do. perhaps for us, we're wondering, what can we do? How can we make a difference? But you know, in here as a church, one of the best things that you can do is we come together and you encourage us to go out to be Christians where we are. A friend of mine uses this terminology. We come to church to stay red because we get greyed out when we go into the world to work. Your job here is to encourage people. Jesus spoke about this, and I found this a most of the helpful of verse. And again, this is Peterson puts it this way. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. And then he goes on to say, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. I believe passionately that that is what God calls you to do. We'll just skip on that. We're running out of time. So what happened in verse 20? Let's see what happened. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, when the shepherds went back to work, we don't hear anything much has changed in their lives. They're not part of the group of disciples, are they? We don't hear much about them. In fact, we don't hear anything about them. In a way, nothing has changed. But for them, everything has changed. Nothing would ever be the same. These ordinary workers, these night shift workers, had been entrusted with being witnesses to the gospel. God was doing a new thing in the world, and he invited them to be part of it. God is doing things in this world, and we are invited to be part of it. So brothers and sisters, fellow workers, whatever you do, maybe you're a shepherd, maybe you're an accountant or a consultant or a teacher or an entrepreneur, a professor, a disciple of Jesus, whoever you are, whatever you work at, God has brought you hope. He has entrusted you with sharing Jesus, and he enables you to live the difference that Jesus makes. May God bless you wherever he has seated you into society to shine a light, to be salt, to live the difference that Jesus makes. May the Lord bless you. Amen.